The truth of any matter can be a continual search. How do you determine it? What is the barometer you use to establish verity in your life? There are so many outlets vying for your attention, attempting to define and redefine truth at every turn. The verity of the Word of God is the only standard that matters and never changes. It is the only truth that is perpetual and invariable, whether you believe it or not. Relying upon it as the authority in your life will bring you closer to your purpose and align you with its verity. Please join me on this episode of the Spoken Verity Podcast as my co-host and I speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God in love.
Praise the Lord, TSV family, and welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast where we speak the truth, which is the Word of God in love. I am Remy Sozo Eko, and I have my co-host and brother with me, Wally Harris III, also known as the Reverend. Shalom, brother.
Brother Sozo, what's happening, man?
I'm good, Rev. I'm so excited, man.
Yes.
We are so grateful for your continuous support and prayers, TSV family. Speaking of prayers, let's commit our time together into His hands. Spirit of the living God, we thank you. You have placed the word in our heart, and we now come to do that which you have called us to do. Only you. We surrender our vocals, cords, our faculties, all of it. We invite you into this minute now. Come, help us speak this word like you gave it to us. Let us not add or remove from it. And we pray for those that will be listening as well. Let this word do the work that you have already predestined in their lives. We love you. We bless you. We glorify you. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Rev, in episode 37 of the Spoken Verity podcast, you led a conversation centered on our new chapter. Take a few moments and recap the highlights of our discourse for those members of our family who may have missed it.
Thank you, brother. TSV family, for our 37th engagement, we put a pin on our beginning chapter, and then we turned the page, if you will, on the next chapter of TSV. The host of your favorite podcast restated the vision and sharpened the focus for the Spoken Verity podcast, along with enumerating some of the topics we hope that Holy Spirit will allow us to expand upon in future episodes. Quick plug here, the Spoken Verity podcast is on all major digital streaming platforms. Subscribe to and share our podcast as Holy Spirit directs you using whatever platforms you consume podcasts. You can also hear all of our episodes and study accompanying show notes at thespokenverity.fm. We thank you for your continued support.
Yes, we do. We're grateful for your support and prayers. Today, we are examining unforgiveness, specifically its poisonous effect on our spiritual lives. In Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5 to 14, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, gave us directions on the subject of prayer. And during that teaching, he shared a divine pattern with his disciples, a model of prayer, which we refer to now as the Lord's Prayer. And most of us had to study it or learn about it in Sunday school. Now, if you travel down that passage of scripture to the 12th verse, you'll find these words, "And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors." TSV family, isn't it interesting that while giving us a template for communicating with our Father, Christ saw it needful to include those words, and as if to ensure we didn't just give them a cursory glance, he lays more emphasis in verse 14 by saying, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It will be prudent to pause here and state that these verses do not by any means suggest that forgiving others is a precondition for God's forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
The redeeming work of Jesus on the cross is full remission for our sins, paid in full. So our risen Lord and Savior is not talking about our salvation here, but rather our ongoing fellowship with God after we've been saved and our capacity to receive and extend God's grace.
Hmm.
Okay, having stated all that, Let's go a little bit deeper. Brothers and sisters, come with me to Mark chapter 11, starting from the 25th verse. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, post it on Facebook, right? Oh, okay. Sorry. I think my notes got messed up. Okay. Oh, tell everybody about it. No, the Bible says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Rev. Christ left no room for any doubt. He taught about this subject a number of times. I just referenced a couple of passages where he directly addressed it, and we will cover some more as our discussion continues. But I want us to quickly look at two more passages of scripture where the importance of forgiveness is highlighted. Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Thank God for his grace.
Brother, let's put a pin on that and now come to Colossians 3:13. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Rev, in setting the communion table, to use your phrase, I have presented several verities found in the Word of God in an effort to unequivocally affirm the significance of forgiveness in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ. Doing so is vital to the conversation we'll be having today, because we can't start delving into the poisonous nature of unforgiveness without properly establishing that the act of forgiving others is a basic standard for those who name the name of Christ. Now that I've taken the time to do so, here's how our conversation today will be segmented. First, we'll look at how the enemy of our souls poison our spiritual lives through unforgiveness. Then we'll discuss some ways a follower of Jesus Christ can avoid or get rid of this spiritual poison. And to wrap up our time together today, the Rev and I will individually share what we received from Holy Spirit outside of our contribution in the preceding segment. Kind of an open mic time, if you will. When Holy Spirit gave me this topic to present for discussion, I had no idea how deep it runs, brother. There's so much to unpack that it might take a couple of episodes for us to get through all of it. Yes. Unforgiveness has caused the loss of marriages, relationships, jobs, businesses, and health. But its root can be traced to our spiritual lives. Because we are spirits borrowing a human flesh for a short while.
Yes.
And we know that until we deal with the root of a matter, treating the symptoms is a futile effort. Satan, the prince of this world, employs numerous devices against followers of Jesus Christ. But unforgiveness is one little weapon that has proved to be very effective in his arsenal. The minute we intentionally choose not to forgive, we have opened the door and given him access.
Yep.
Rev, how does the enemy of our souls poison our spiritual lives through unforgiveness?
Well, brother, your opening and then answering of this first question has really laid the foundation. And I think the main thing that I can take away from it, all of it was good, but I think the real piece of this is the choice to forgive or not to forgive. And this is something that is a part of a believer's life, anyone's life, really. And you have to forgive as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you still need to be forgiving, because it is a part of who you are, whether you recognize it or not, that forgiveness is something that will allow you to be healed, spirit, soul, and body. And if you're not operating in that place, you are not operating in a place of healing. And I know we're going to touch on this in these three segments today, but I really wanted to highlight that part in terms of the choice. So in answering your question, brother, I see that you rightly address who is making the attempt to poison our spiritual lives. The devil, the enemy of our souls. But he has to get us to participate. And this was something that I was talking about a little earlier, just as I opened. We have to participate and make the choice to not forgive. He cannot just poison our spirits without permission. However, he is the one that is looking to do just that. Scripture says he walks around seeking whom he may devour.
Come on.
The word may is conditional. The word seeking indicates he is looking for an opportunity. He just doesn't have carte blanche, if you will, over our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. If he did, he'd kill us all immediately. Because that's his aim.
Yes.
Still kill and destroy.
Come on.
As believers in Jesus Christ, we belong to God our Father. So considering we are a triune being, what happens in our spirits will manifest in our souls, mm-hmm. our thinking, and our bodies. Now, we covered this in great detail in episode 32 concerning the healing of our spirits, souls, and bodies and where that comes from. So obviously now, using this as a backdrop, let me expand upon my answer to your question, Brother Sozo. The enemy of our souls uses unforgiveness in his attempt to poison. And I like to say to attack your spirit. It's a poisoning. It definitely is that. And it's an attack. It's a spiritual attack. And he's going to use you to attack yourself. So that's why you hear at times people calling themselves their own worst enemy. And that is a part of it. But the enemy is using you to attack you. Oh. Come after your spirit by you doing it to yourself. Scripture says in Proverbs, we are snared by the words of our mouths. Mm. Where do those words come from? They start in the spirit realm. And the enemy has assigned demonic spirits to come against you. And he is doing that to get you to attack your own spirit. To be in conflict with yourself. And then you'll focus on yourself or others that are out here, which could then potentially fall into unforgiveness. And again, we'll get into this a little bit later. In his attempt to attack and to poison your spirit, he wants to cut off what God has purposed in your life and those he has connected you to. So let's quickly define unforgiveness and then see how that applies to the question from Scripture. At a high level, unforgiveness is defined as unwilling or unable to forgive, specifically regarding someone who has hurt you through some sort of action that has in turn caused related emotional pain or trauma. As believers in Jesus Christ, Scripture says that we can do all things through him, and yes. that includes forgiveness. So that definition, talking about unable, no, we can. It's a choice, again, as I mentioned earlier. When Jesus told his disciples in Mark 11, 25 through 26, what happens when you don't forgive, you see that the enemy of our souls is attempting to poison our relationships with God and with man. And brother, you talked about this in your opening. And when I heard it, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I see where you're working here. But let me come at this a little bit of a different angle. Let's reread that chapter and those verses here to give some more context. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Forgiving someone is an act of your will, brother. Jesus is saying that you must forgive all who come against you when you pray. When you petition the Lord for answers to the challenges and struggles of life, but haven't forgiven your brother or sister, your prayers are hindered. If you haven't reconciled with your brother or sister, as we see in Matthew 5, 23 through 24, then you aren't even supposed to bring your giving gift to God. Will you do this if you have unforgiveness in your heart? You won't, of course, but will you recognize why you won't? I think this is really important as well. Do we know why we do what we do? Or is it something that is a part of something else in our spirits that needs to come out? Do you know that it is the poisonous act of not forgiving your brother or sister that is hindering what God longs to do in and through your life? Now, as a brief aside, those that believe that salvation can be lost points to this scripture as proof of their assumption. In truth, what verse 26 is saying is that your lack of forgiveness doesn't allow our God to do what he wants to do in your life. Living in unforgiveness keeps God from hearing our prayers. And we read this in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. This is from the King James Version. And the reason why I keep talking about the prayers and connecting this with unforgiveness is because people are praying and they haven't seen manifestation in the things that they've prayed for. The promises of God are yes and amen, and they're saying, why haven't I gotten it? Well, take a look into your heart. Or do you have unforgiveness? This is hindering your prayers. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Unforgiveness left unchecked can turn iniquitous through continued prompting from the enemy to keep yourself in that ruinous state. He is looking, seeking for you to view people as your enemy, to view yourself as your enemy, to not forgive when someone has wronged you. He is attempting to poison your spirit. Iniquity is analogous to sin, but they take on different forms depending upon the life scenario. To sin is to miss the mark of righteousness as detailed in Scripture concerning a particular transgression. Iniquity is demonstrated by the essence of your character in a specific action or even a way of life. David connects the two, even as he details them respectively in Psalm 32, verse 5. This again is from the King James. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, says David talking to the Father, and mine iniquity have I not hid. There's the distinction. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Salah. So why am I submitting that unforgiveness can lead to an iniquity in your spirit, brother? We know that unforgiveness will stop your prayers from being answered and from you fulfilling his purpose for you in the earth. We also see from Holy Spirit through David that we need to rid ourselves of it before it becomes the root or essence of your sin responses, which will devolve your thinking in that area, tethering you to the sin you actually participate in. Look at iniquities as unaddressed sin. Brother Sozo, your next question allows us to aid our global audience in how we rid ourselves of this spiritual poison.
Thank you, brother. Wow. I've never heard anyone take that time to really dissect sin and iniquity. Used interchangeably, you know, even from the pulpit, but to really take that time and educate us on the differences between them. That's impactful, brother.
And that's really just the start. Because I was studying this and Holy Spirit was showing me this. I think there may be an episode just to be understand the differences between the two. And I gave a little snippet.
Yes.
And hopefully that'll start the conversation.
Yes, brother. It's quite needed. Absolutely. We have a lot of Christians that are not even having that kind of knowledge, which is the whole license for TSV. So let me add a little bit to how my brother eloquently answered that question. I'm going to touch on three ways the enemy of our souls does this. The first one is by getting us to be like him. Isaiah 14 deals with the fall of Lucifer.
Mm.
And in the back half of verse 14, it is recorded that he said, I will be like the Most High. So how does that connect to our conversation today? I'm glad you asked. Let's look at a few scriptures starting in Deuteronomy 32. Beginning from verse 33. Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall sleep in due time. Then let's come to Romans 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Finally, in Hebrews 10, verse 30, we see this verity. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. TSV family, in these three passages, we are reminded time and time again that vengeance belongs to our faithful God. But the enemy of our souls start getting into our thoughts. Then we feel the need to hold on to our forgiveness and by extension, holding on to the prerogative of vengeance, just in case God has forgotten about the incident or he intends to do nothing about it, I'm going to make sure I exact justice. Becoming like God. Moving on, the second part of this is he causes us to focus on the flesh. Let's go to the fifth chapter of Galatians, chapter from verse 16. I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another.
Yes.
So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Let's go. Which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies,
Holy Spirit of God,
outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Rev, that is so self-explanatory. And if you need more meat about that, episode 27 of your favorite podcast extensively covered the spirit versus the flesh, the battle taking place within every believer.
Yes.
We encourage you to go listen to it if you haven't already, or if you want to be refreshed. The third and final piece about this is the enemy of our souls keep people in bondage.
Yes.
The bondage of living in unforgiveness suffocates a person's innate ability to love and receive love. TSV family, I specifically said innate, meaning that that's how we were created, to love and receive love. But when you have unforgiveness in your heart, it suffocates your ability to do this. And this goes directly against what Christ instructed us in Mark chapter 12, verse 31. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than this. This was when he was laying out the greatest commandments to the Pharisee that was questioning him. Now, this bondage from the enemy of our souls also keep people from fully entering into all the Lord might have for them in the way of ministry. It keeps a person from truly enjoying the full abundant life that Christ promised us in John chapter 10, verse 10. This is what the Bible says in that verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You see how in the first half of that verse, Christ informed us of the enemy's aim for our lives: to steal, to kill, to destroy.
Preach.
So when we give in to unforgiveness, as my brother has eloquently stated, when we participate in it, because yeah, we understand all this battle taking place, but again, go back and listen to episode 27. We talked about the role of the believer in this battle. And when we decide that, okay, we're going to give in to unforgiveness, we're going to hold on to the bitterness, we're going to hold on to the grudge, we are opening the door and allowing this enemy of our soul to come in to steal, kill, and destroy.
Right.
Rev, anything else you want to add?
Other than the fact that you're touching on the same things that we've been talking about, just in terms of reiterating the choice that you have to make. And people think that this is not them, it's someone else.
Yes.
It's the person that did what they did to me, which is allowing me to now hold this unforgiveness when it's been stated and restated and will be restated before the end of this episode, that forgiveness is not an option. It's a command. This is something that you must do as a believer in Jesus Christ, as we'll enumerate later and expand upon. This should be something that you want to do. You should be looking to forgive, brother. So this topic has to continue to be talked about as well. As you mentioned, this is more than one episode.
Yes, sir.
This is a part of our lifestyle, forgiving, looking to forgive, looking to be in a place of operation in the love that we have given to us by Jesus Christ. This is something that we must be doing. And when we're not, and we think that it's a choice, then we will not be getting our prayers answered. We will not be seeing the things that God has called for us to do and to fulfill in this life because we're holding something against someone that he created.
Yeah.
And then in essence, even somebody he was sent to help you. So I guess we just need to continue in this space and just let Holy Spirit speak through us. And part of this, as I'm hearing, is the reiteration of the choice that must be made by you as a believer in Jesus Christ. So
thank you, brother. That's so while you were just sharing there, I'll come to this verse in our next segment, but it just got dropped in my spirit again. Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God, but specifically in verse 12, where he says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood."
Right. That's right. That right there tells you that your enemy is not you or another person. But again, are we actually reading and then understanding what the Word of God says? We come up with all these other things as reasons to justify why we sin. That's part of the issue. You're coming up with something to say, well, it's them. It's someone else. It's the enemy. Or it is the enemy, but it is you as well. Yes. And both of you all, the enemy and yourself, can be working together if you choose to. And it's something that you got to make sure that you are taking a step back and saying, wait a minute. Yeah. I am not going to be used by the enemy of my soul to prevent me from fulfilling God's purpose.
Come on.
I have to make a choice.
Come on.
Scripture says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. This is a daily choice. This is part of your choice. You've already chosen Jesus Christ. You received him. But now this is how you continue to be and to fulfill his purpose. Come to live a life set and meet for his use. What he wants for you to do in the earth. And part of that is forgiving. It's a big part of it. And we'll continue to unpack that in these next two questions.
Yes, sir. When we were offline chatting, I remember a conversation we had about Moses being raised as a prince in Egypt.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember.
Now stepping up to, I'm going to understand it now that, I'm really not an Egyptian, an Israelite. I'm from the Hebrew tribe. Let me defend my people. Mm-hmm. It went bad. Dude ran off into the wilderness, 40 years, and then God comes like, hey, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, brother could have sat like, well, man, go back to what? Save who? Those guys that I was trying. Didn't you see I killed somebody for them? But yet they were the ones that were telling on me. They pushed me. They rejected me. Go save them. Nah, let them be. But no. He decided to continue in that obedience. And I just wanted to add that there.
No, that's good. And we discussed that and some other things as well. But the other part of that I think is important is he still had to make a choice. We go back to what we were saying before.
Yes.
He had to choose to obey.
Yes.
But it wasn't going to stop God's people from being delivered. I think we talked about this a little bit as well. Aaron was with him. If he didn't take on the task, maybe it would have been Aaron or whomever.
Yes.
But his people were going to be delivered. So just because you don't forgive or you choose to not forgive or you choose to disobey God, his purposes cannot be thwarted. It won't stop because you didn't do it. He'll just find someone else.
That's it.
And see, this is where then you miss the blessing. You miss the opening and where he's going to take you because you've chosen not to forgive, rooted in whatever, pride, fear, self. We'll get into those things. But the point is that this is what's happening right now. Mm. And if you do not recognize, and I talked about this earlier, why you do what you do, then you will be twisting and going back in circles, round and round, repeating the same iniquitous actions and sins because of the fact that you have not addressed these issues.
Yes.
And so, brother, as we continue in this second and then third segment, we'll be able to unpack this a little bit more.
Absolutely, brother. So moving on, TSV family, as we continue to look at the spiritual poison of unforgiveness, I want to read from James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Yes, yes, yes. Submit.
The very first step. People talk about resisting, but it says submit first.
Right.
Then
right.
you resist. That's because right. under that submission, you have your full authority as a follower of Jesus Christ. And then you can resist him. That's you can't resist the enemy in your own power. That happened in Acts of the Apostles. And we know what they jumped on them. Like, Jesus, we know. Peter and Paul, we know.
But who are you? Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
Where
right.
Where are you from?
And they commenced beating the brakes off of him. That was amazing. Yeah, I remember that. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So TSV fam, now that Holy Spirit has used us to expose some of the means the enemy of our souls poison our spiritual life through unforgiveness, let's now turn our focus on how to prevent and possibly expunge this spiritual poison. Rev, what are some ways a follower of Jesus Christ can avoid or get rid of this spiritual poison?
Brother, this goes back to a constant refrain for our show. It's something we've been talking about since episode zero. Do you believe all that is in the Word of God? Do you believe it? It's there. Do you believe all that is written in those 66 books? If you do, then that is the first start. For those that name the name of Jesus Christ, we must depart from iniquity. We talked about iniquity a little bit. We're going to dig into this some more. But this is important. Scripture tells us for everyone that names the name of Christ, we must depart from iniquity. We must view what God calls sin a sin, period. It doesn't matter what happened to you, past, present, or future. You have to participate in the poisoning of your spirit through unforgiveness, continuously sought by the enemy of our souls. That said, we also need to be honest in our recognition that we have unforgiveness. It can be a subtle and not so subtle sin, especially if you have lived in that state for so long. This way of living allows your spirit to be poisoned with what has become an iniquity, which in turn guides and molds your thinking, leading to what you do in relation to what you think. This iniquity is directing your actions. It's unforgiveness has gotten in, is directing your actions. You get around someone that you didn't forgive and you start acting a certain way and you're being controlled by them, but you haven't recognized this. This is what I'm talking about. You have to recognize why you do what you do. A rejection spirit, brother, tags along with the unforgiveness spirit in the sense that by not forgiving, you are rejecting what God has commanded, and the enemy of your souls will use that in condemnation of you and the people you have chosen not to forgive. You will feel rejected by them in their presence, even if the rejection is not occurring at that time or when the actual rejection happened in the past. Now, brother, that's another show, but I want to make sure that is inserted into the conversation here. In light of that, let's unpack some of the ways to rid ourselves of this spiritual poison. First, read and meditate on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Now, we've been talking about love a little bit here, just in little parts, little snippets. This is important because this will help you to operate in the true essence of who you are, not operate in the essence of unforgiveness, which is that iniquity that I was talking about. This spiritual toxicant cannot take root if you do not allow yourself to operate in it, but allow yourself to operate in love. Let me highlight a couple of scriptures from that chapter. 1 Corinthians 13:7 from the Amplified says that love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remains steadfast during difficult times, endures all things, without weakening. TSV family, choose to believe the best in everyone. Don't just focus on their challenges or their weaknesses. People in pain look for other people in pain to connect with, or even look to bring them into their trauma scenarios of life. Remember to look for the best in everyone, even if they are coming against you. Now for the same chapter, verse 5, really the last part of 5, where scripture says, love keeps no record of being wronged. Wow. You talk about maturity in the ways of our Lord and Savior. Keeps no record of being wrong.
Yes, sir.
Who do we know that's doing this consistently? I mean, there may, I'm not saying there's no one out there.
Yeah.
And I do my best, but there's very much challenge to be making sure that you're not operating in record keeping, so to speak. Unfortunately, this is a constant fail for a lot of believers and will produce unforgiveness in us if not addressed. So even when that does happen in my life, Holy Spirit prompts me, hey, what are you doing here? So that we can now bring it back. This goes back to the devotional time that we've discussed in previous episodes, knowing that spending that time, he's going to show you things, to pull things out of your spirit so that you can move out of that place and move to the next level. But if you stay here in unforgiveness, you'll be operating as a child still needing milk and you haven't got to meat yet. You're 75, 80, 90 years old, still sipping milk. You need to come off of that. And let's get to the meat. And it starts with forgiving. You've been controlled by these people for way too long. It's time to let go.
Come on.
It's time to let go. Now, understanding this, let's talk about another way. And really, it's the last way that I'm going to highlight that we can rid ourselves of unforgiveness. And that is by recognizing that a truly repentant heart is a heart that longs to forgive. Truly repentant. I'm not talking about superficial repenting. We talk about it in church and it looks good and all of that. But then when we walk out of those doors, we're right back at whoever is not forgiving us. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a truly repentant heart is a heart that longs to forgive, longs to give grace to those that are falling short of expectations or commitments. Take a look at yourself. Do you look to bridge gaps in relationships? Are you honest with those that you are connected to? If someone comes and tells you that you hurt them, do you brush them off or are you looking for a way to reconcile with them? This goes back to how I opened my answer to your question, brother, in the sense that we must be honest with ourselves. The first part of Proverbs 14:10 says that the heart knoweth his own bitterness. Those areas of bitterness is revealed to us by Holy Spirit, in part by our actions. So take a self-inventory. Are you a complainer? Do you play the victim role? When people around you are getting blessings and you haven't, does it cause envy or irritation? Do you remember a lot of the negative things that have happened in your life and who is responsible? Check those areas and any other area Holy Spirit shows you and apply his love that is already in you into those situations. This will aid in the removal of the spiritual poison of unforgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of your will, brother.
Rev. That rejection spirit, it's attached to something and a memory that you have, an event in the past. And you highlighted that piece there where it could be something that was 10, 5 years ago, but you have allowed it to fester. So everything now is seen through that prism.
That's right.
People that even truly care, it's been seen through that, oh, no, that's not it. You're trying to do this. You're just like them. You're just like this.
Yes. And the thing is that they haven't done anything to you.
No.
Again, as you're to your point, you're looking at the scenario and the situation that looks familiar that you've been hurt in. And so you're now connecting this person to that scenario and they never did anything. That's what happens in relationships. Women that have gone through challenges with men. And so then they use that and then they filter every man through those challenges, through that prism. Men do the same thing with women. So I'm going to be equal in that. So nobody gives me sends me an email saying that I'm only focusing on women. The point is that this happens across the board through both genders. And remember, there's only two genders. Let me drop
it. Yeah, it's very clear.
So this is really clear and important that we understand that if you are focusing and filtering this through that unforgiveness lens, your relationships are not going to flourish. They're going to stay in that state. And what would happen is they will continue to break down. They will continue to devolve to the place that the enemy wants, which is disconnection and disunity. So then that way he can keep you under his thumb, under his rule, and they can destroy you. And that's the whole point. That's what he wants to do. Destroy you, destroy your relationships. He just wants you out of the earth. So you cannot do anything to help in the kingdom of God. So yeah, that's good, brother.
Bro, and when you stay in that place and you don't allow the Holy Spirit to pull the scales down so that you can truly see what is happening, you refuse to accept correction. You refuse to, like,
man. Well, that's another show. Boy, I'm going to talk about that a little bit too, but the refusing correction piece. Let's keep going.
Let's continue, please. Okay, let me add a little bit to what the Rev has already shared. Earlier, I read Romans 12:19, where we were taught about vengeance being God's. So I'll come down a little bit to 20. And the Bible says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Mm-hmm. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. And this is the piece I was trying to get to here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. TSV family, there's a thread you see here. If you're discerning, if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you as you're listening here, it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil. So by telling you to overcome evil, there is a responsibility on your part. Meaning, again, to your point, it's a choice.
Right.
You can overcome evil.
And you do that with good.
Yes.
Yes. Doing right good. Here. Doing what the Word of God says. Yes. Right. In that area. Absolutely.
Yes. It's been listed here. Let's move on. Proverbs 4:23 tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Bro.
Yes, yes, yes.
Again, there is a piece about personal responsibility here. Mm-hmm. In all of this scripture, I'm not seeing anything like, oh, stay away from that person. Oh, talk about them on social media. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is focusing on us. Keep your heart with all diligence. How do we do that? We always seek his face, spend time with him, let his love flood our heart by exposing our hearts to his word, to his truth.
Yes.
But the enemy wants us, like he just shared, close your heart off to people and to others. Stay away. Like little by little, you start breaking away. You start stepping away. Oh, this person offended me. Bro, Christians fall victim to this so much because in church, you have, oh, this brother said this to me. That sister said this to me. Oh, this person looked at me. Oh, that other person said this. I'm out. I'm leaving the church. And just that by itself, again, is another different episode.
And we don't want to take responsibility for that. We don't want to take responsibility for why we did what we did. We are looking to blame others.
Yes.
That's what the enemy wants. He is the enemy of our souls. He used that person to cut off what was happening in your life, what you could have done in that church, where you could have aided and assisted in soul winning. And a lot of times, people are not recognizing that Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, they are focused on people. And we talked about in the very beginning of this episode, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's really clear here. It tells you that, but yet and still, it's because it's right in front of our face. We see people and we do not understand that we are spirit having a natural experience. You talked about a little bit earlier. That's who we are. Our spirits are eternal. And they will go and live forever. This natural body that we're here in is going to decay and we'll get a new body. We talked about that already.
Yeah.
But this is important for us to recognize that you're not dealing with the natural. It's the spiritual. And if you do not speak against those spirits that are coming against you through people using the weapons of your warfare that we talked about in season one, this is important for you to unpack this and then apply it into your life so you can speak against this. And unforgiveness won't be able to come in. All of these other iniquitous scenarios will not be able to enter into your heart to thwart and stunt what God is attempting to do in your life. It won't happen unless you choose it. Choose it, TSV family. Don't choose it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Bro, like, if only believers, followers of Jesus Christ can stay focused on him. When we dwell in the flesh, I had a recent conversation with my brother. And throughout the conversation, it was weird. He never, when he was trying to express the negative thoughts he had, he never referred it to it like, I started thinking about this. He said, oh, the flesh was thinking about this. He separated his flesh.
That's right.
Like, the flesh started saying this. Oh, the flesh. Like, in third person, like, this is not me. The flesh. The flesh.
I'm
like,
that's right. That's
right. The flesh was thinking about this. Oh, the flesh was now saying this. Like, I was like, yeah, look at this. That's that is right. Exactly what we're talking about.
Come on.
Separate it. Because when you let the flesh guide you, like you said, when you let the flesh lead you, where do you think it's leading you?
Come on. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God.
Come on.
They are the sons of God.
Okay.
Flesh leading is demonic leading.
Oh.
That's how you operate. You're operating like the enemy. And if you don't move away from that, he'll pull you into a place that you don't want to be in. So, yes, that's good.
Bro.
Your flesh, my flesh is saying this. Yes. These are the things that are happening right now. Yes. That's a, that's good. That's good,
yeah.
Bro.
It hit me different. I'm like, dude, that is a great one right there. Yeah. But TSV family, let me add this last verse here before we move on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, do not quench the spirit. Again, it's not saying this other person, that person, you, the offended one, you, the one holding the grudge, you, the one irritated, you, the one bitter, do not quench the spirit.
Mm.
That's it. Mm. That's what the enemy is trying to get you to do. The Holy Spirit is telling you move on, but no. Well, you're hurting in your flesh. They have to pay. I have to make sure that I deal with them. Quenching the spirit. And then we wonder why we cannot fulfill all that Christ has called us to do, bro.
Hmm.
It's, yeah, this is definitely going to be a continuous conversation for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything you want to add before we segue into the third segment here, bro?
No, I think we've covered those first two.
we've
done a pretty good job of being thorough there.
Yes.
So yes, let's move on.
Let's move on. So, funny thing here, Rev, I was preparing for this episode and asking, you know, Holy Spirit, so what do you want us to discuss? And he said, leave the third segment blank. I'm like, blank? How? Like, so what's the question? Like, okay, initially in the opening, Tears with Family, I said it's like an open mic night, but, you know, this is not really that kind of a scenario. But I used that to denote what we're about to do here as there's not a direct question, but pretty much I'm going to ask my brother and I myself will share what else the Holy Spirit has laid on our heart outside of the responses we've already provided to this question. So this is kind of like an unrestricted time, Reverend.
I really want to reiterate that forgiveness and unforgiveness are choices that we make daily.
Hmm.
I know I referenced earlier the scriptures that says, choose you this day whom you will serve. This verity falls right in line with that. Let's not forget that forgiveness is a command by our God. I know I talked about this earlier. When we choose not to forgive, we choose to disobey God. I don't know how clear I can make that. You are choosing to disobey God.
Yeah.
We have placed ourselves above our Creator, and we know that that is a form of idolatry. I also want to highlight the fact that the enemy of our souls has a lot of weapons in his toolbox, so to speak, in his warfare against us. Unforgiveness is an immense, but also subtle weapon he uses in the sense that most believers don't understand how unforgiveness can shape their life. We have talked about this. We've unpacked this in these first two segments, and we will continue this in future conversations. But you need to understand that this unforgiveness that you continue to hold on to is shaping your life, how you view your relationships, how you view even the word of God, how you view God. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? Well, since you're sovereign, then that means that everything is going on. You purposed it.
Hmm.
No,
hmm.
Part of his sovereignty is allowing you free will,
hmm.
which means that you have the choice to make. You have a choice to make. To choose you this day,
hey.
Whom you will serve.
Hey.
If this was directed and controlled by our God, why would he tell you to choose?
Mm.
You would already do it because he purposed it.
Come
he
on.
Made it happen.
Come on.
No, he's telling you to choose.
Mm. Mm.
People that you have not forgiven, and now you yourself, you are being controlled by those people, the ones you've chosen not to forgive. This connects to bitterness that I touched on earlier. And we haven't really talked about bitterness, but this is kind of an offshoot of the unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So here I want to provide some additional detail to what we have discoursed today.
Mm-hmm.
In Hebrews 12, 14 through 16, we read, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Mm.
lest there be any fornicator or profane, and I have godless here as another translation, person, as Esau, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. We have to be ready to aid our brothers and sisters in Christ in the daily enterprise of keeping unforgiveness out of our hearts, out of our spirits, to be able to make sure that we are helping in this place. The grace of God we show, as he has shown to us, is a part of that assist. Without this grace, a root of bitterness can produce defilement of the spirit, which produces thoughts and actions that taints your physical purity and can lead you to godlessness or apostasy. Brother, we haven't really talked about this at all, I don't think. We need to also forgive ourselves.
Come on with it. Come on with it.
We have conversed a lot in this episode about forgiving others, but what about ourselves?
Yeah.
We have to learn to forgive ourselves. This is another choice here.
Yes.
To give ourselves grace.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalms 103:10-12 from the Amplified, our brother David helps us here to keep these verities in perspective. He has not dealt with us. He, meaning our God, has not dealt with us according to our sins as we deserve, nor rewarded us with punishment according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him and worship him with all filled respect and deepest reverence. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So, Brother Sozo, if God hasn't dealt with us according to what we deserve, why do we deal with ourselves as such? We must give ourselves grace. And not as a liberty to sin, as we read in Galatians 5:13, but operating in the same grace given to us when we received Jesus Christ as our risen personal Savior. Brother, unforgiveness must be rooted out by an act of your will, fortified by Holy Spirit, and it comes from recognition of the particular area of unforgiveness in your life and then applying what the Word of God says to keep it out. TSV family, meditate on these verities until they are embedded in your heart. Unforgiveness will have no opportunity to entrench there when you do.
Rev. Oh, brother. I'm so grateful to God for you, man.
Amen.
Come on, brother. When you mentioned Hebrews 12:15, I was reminded of Acts 8:23. When the sorcerer was being addressed, and this is Peter, "For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity."
That's it. I'm telling you right now, as I was studying that, I heard that's another episode. Iniquity,
it, bro.
And sin,
bro.
The differences and the understanding. Bro. Yes, you gotta. Yes, we gotta delve into that more.
Come on,
man. Yes.
First of all, I love, because everything about the Bible is so detailed, because that's how Holy Spirit is.
Yes.
He's a person of order. You are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. First the poisoning, then the bondage.
That's right.
Bro.
That's part of what the enemy is doing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's bringing something in so he can now take root. That's what the iniquity is. It's rooting. It's rooting. It's rooting that scenario, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that whatever it is, the sin, the fornication, all of those things starts with that little seed, that little thing to come in to see if you're going to participate. Because you got to participate.
Yes.
The audience, you got to get involved. This is not something that he can just make you do. You have to choose. But it's not you that is the one that is putting yourself in that place.
Yeah.
He is tempting you to see where you will go.
Yes.
And then are you going to do what Holy Spirit has said in his word?
Yeah.
Or are you going to do what he, the enemy of our souls, is asking and looking and seeking to get you to do? That's the difference, brother.
My experience was kind of different. A couple of days ago, we use a particular brand of water, and the HEB closest to us didn't have it. So I started looking and looking. I found one. It was like a 35-40 minute drive. I was like, okay, I can make it. I made allowance for it. So I did the HEB curbside. I drove. I had to go through farm roads, the one lane on each side, traffic because they were doing construction. It ended up being about an hour. Bro, I pull up and the lady, I text my stall number. I'm here. The lady comes out. So you said no substitution, but we don't have that brand of water that you...
Oh my goodness.
I started getting so hot. Like, she was like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, okay. I wound up my window and got on the road. Still like, what? All the times I've missed? All, and the Holy Spirit is like, the spiritual poison of unforgiveness. Come on. Oh no, you're not going to do that. Really? Like,
yeah.
Because now I'm about to get on the road, still furious. Like, now, okay, who is this person? This situation that just happened, somebody has to get it. I have to now pour this. And he just like, hey, this is what we've been talking about. Like, this is what we're about to talk about.
That's right.
The poison of unforgiveness. If I allowed what just happened at that store to now follow me, then somebody on the road will get it, or my wife, or somebody I speak to next. That poison starts sitting in and then starts going in into all my relationships. And I'm like, well, I don't know if I was telling Holy Spirit, I'm like, I don't know if you orchestrated all this as to to bring home the point, but we could have had this discussion just easily. So TSV family, man.
Wow.
We just talked about forgiving yourselves. Now I also gave you forgiving a situation, right? Forgiving the company or bank that you had all your savings and pensions in and they closed up.
Whoa.
Bro.
Whoa.
Bro. Man. Like just totally forgiving, even placing an order at your local Starbucks and the barista misses the order or whatever. You know, there's just situations that we have to really get ourselves out of. And because all that we've been saying, nowhere did Christ temper it with forgive only here and here. Across the board, just forgive.
Right.
Across the board. So it's important. It's important that you make sure you make that choice. As we've stated, it is a choice. It may be difficult, but you have the comforter with you. You can call on him. I need help here. I'm struggling with this. Surrender it to him and let him do his perfect work in you.
That's right.
Rev, anything you want to add before we close out?
Just the fact that when you are looking to root out unforgiveness from your heart, you have to do it with scripture. Don't attempt to do it naturally. You know, there's some things that we may see or hear, you know, from a mental health perspective. And I'm not saying that those don't have relevance here. But if it's not rooted in the word of God, as opposed to man's words, enticing words of man's wisdom, that's going to keep the root of unforgiveness there because you're attempting to attack the spiritual issues with a natural scenario, with a natural process. It's not going to remove it. You have to do what it says in the word of God. And you start with 1 Corinthians 13 because the love that's in you will push that out because you'll be longing to forgive. You'll be looking to forgive. You'll be looking to engage with those that have hurt you, that you'll go back to in the past, or those that you have hurt may have unforgiveness in their heart towards you. All of those things, and it comes from love and the compassion to engage. What are you doing? Are you still operating in this place of pride? That's what unforgiveness is as well. You're operating in pride because he said to forgive and you said no. And so when you operate in that place, you are operating in pride. You are operating in a place of disobedience to the one that created you. And so let's just, as we get ready to close, TSV audience, please understand that unforgiveness is a choice.
Yes.
Don't choose that way.
Come on.
Go to the word of God. Do what my brother says. Soak yourself, immerse yourself in the word of God in these areas so that you can now continue to fortify yourself, fortify your heart. So when the enemy comes with the temptation to not forgive, then you will not participate. You will turn the page and stay in that forgiveness space. That's where Holy Spirit wants you, and he can use you to help others in that enterprise.
TSV family, as my brother has stated and I've shared as well, the act of forgiving is our seed of obedience to his word. Once we've sown our seed, he is faithful to bring a harvest of blessing to us one way or another. We just have to stay in obedience. As my brother has stated, we are commanded to forgive others. It is not something that is, okay, well, maybe you should. Several times in the Bible, Christ shared, and also shared, which we didn't touch about, the consequences, being handed over to your tormentors when you don't forgive. That, again, this is going to be a continuous conversation, so make sure you subscribe and stay tuned in.
Yes.
But unforgiveness is disobedience to God. But on the other part of this, forgiveness brings freedom. It brings with it the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
Earlier in segment one, I touched on the works of flesh in Galatians. And now, if you look down in that chapter, the fifth chapter of Galatians, we see the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. TSV family, forgiveness is God's desire for you. And as my brother has shared, you may have to forgive yourself as well. If this is something you're struggling with, if you find this to be difficult, invite the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, God's indwelling Spirit, so he can help you uproot it. My brother shared about how we seek the physical to address the spiritual. It doesn't work that way. The root is in the Spirit. So the uprooting takes place in the Spirit, and then it manifests in the physical.
Amen.
Amen. Rev, stay on the mic here as we get ready to close out our time together in prayer and share with our listeners what they should be expecting in episode 39 of their favorite podcast.
Briefly, brother, our 39th installment of your favorite podcast will pick up where we left off in episode 31. With part two of the Now series titled The Destructive Force of Pride. We look forward to you joining us for episode 39.
Yeah. It just feels like a baton passed over, right? From the spiritual poison of unforgiveness into pride.
Yes.
Tune in next week, and I know you'll be blessed. Let's close episode 38 in prayer. Spirit of the living God, thank you. I love referring to you as the living God, written in us. You are alive. You are walking in us to fulfill your will for our lives. As we have shared this episode today about this poison that the enemy tries to lure your sons and daughters, I just pray for those that have listened to it, that may be going through a struggle like this, that your Holy Spirit would lead them to see areas that they can change in their life, areas that they can totally submit to you and surrender to you, how they can walk away from their flesh and dwell in your Spirit. I thank you for this venture that you have entrusted to us, this end time message. I thank you again for how you continue to use us. I just bless your holy name. We have spoken your word as you gave it to us, and we thank you for that opportunity. We love you, we bless you, we glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to TSV this week. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you use to do so. Please know that we love and care about you. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to do so today. Please go to thespokenverity.fm/salvation to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Until our next encounter, speak the eternal verity, the unchangeable truth that is the Word of God. In love, all the blessings.